This is your last call for My Wife the Dietitian. The show is just about to start.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
I'm trying. I can't get my shoe on.
Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information.
So Sandra has decided to surprise me with another pop quiz. Luckily, I've been paying attention, so it's old hat for me now. We discuss the seven pillars of healthy eating and why they're important for maintaining good health.
Food has everything it needs right in one package. Plus, you're getting other nutrients like the macronutrients, like the, you know, carbohydrates and the fat and protein and fiber. So those things are really important. But like I talked about with the canned beans, which people are like, canned beans are too high in salt. You can't have those, or loaded with sodium. But actually, it's better to have the canned beans than not have the green vegetable. If you don't have green leafy vegetables in the fridge and you don't have them in the freezer, you can open a can of beans. You're going to say open a can of whoop-ass. I know it.
Stay with us for all the fun and games. Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're good too, because I'm going to give you a quiz.
Oh, a quiz. You know how much I love those.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I did pretty well on the last one.
Protein pop quiz?
I think I've done pretty well on all of them.
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah, I think you're learning.
I think it's finally sinking in.
That's right.
All right. Well, bring it on. What do you got today? What are we quizzing me on today?
Well, it's about healthy eating, and I'm going to give you, let's just get into it here.
All right.
Okay. Elevate your nutrition. How can we eat well most days or through the week? I want to go through some of the components that we've talked about before.
Okay. So what's your question? You got to ask a question.
Oh, it's like Jeopardy.
With a quiz, yeah.
Right. What is the one thing that we need to eat daily that is a certain color that in the original trailer you said, does it make it bigger?
Well, spinach. That's
what color?
Well, it's green. Oh, you mean we need to eat green stuff every day? Well, like greens, like leafy greens.
Yeah.
Is that wait for you to nod your head with the yes. Leafy greens is the answer.
Or
you're looking
green
for.
Vegetables.
Or, okay, can you name some green vegetables?
That's what I was going to ask. Can you name 5 green vegetables?
And leafy greens counts as only one?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So there's like spinach, cucumbers, green peppers. Avocado's a fruit, right? Or do we count that as a veggie?
Wow. You're already way ahead of where I was going with that. Okay. Spinach, cucumber, green pepper. What else?
Well, broccoli. Broccoli's in there.
Yes.
I didn't say that, but that's a green veggie. Beans, peas, all the lettuces.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Is that pretty good?
That's really good.
Will that do it for you there?
That's
you
great. Well, that's, actually green leafy. And I think you covered a lot of green leafy, like you said, all the lettuces and the broccoli and spinach. Kale.
Is there any bonus points on this quiz?
Well, you just got bonuses on
those.
Well,
I was going to say, I'm doing better than 100 right now, so. I like those tests where the kids are like, yeah, I got like 105%. I'm like, how does that work? How do you get better than perfect?
Bonus, baby.
But hopefully that's one of these tests.
Yeah, well, this is a bonus. I mean, if you can have green leafy vegetables 7 days a week, that's a huge bonus to your health.
Yeah, right. That's where the bonus points will be.
105%.
Yeah.
Why?
That's how you'll feel.
Do you know why? That's the next question. That's a tricky one.
What's the benefit of eating those?
Yeah, we did a whole episode on around St. Paddy's Day, the green food episode. That was last year.
It was last year.
Angus.
It's good for your circulation and all it's called it's on the tip of my tongue. Something fills and anti-somethings. They're big words. I remember part of them.
Antioxidants?
Antioxidants.
And polyphenols?
Polyphenols, maybe. I don't know. There's lots of those things in green leafy vegetables.
Those
they're
are in berries.
They're good for your eyes.
Yes. Yes. Because of something called L with an L.
Lutein.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Really important.
But is that why we need to eat them every day, though? I don't think I've hit the right answer here yet.
Well, no, you did say circulation, and it is totally important for heart health and circulation.
Okay.
And immune system.
Oh, immune system, for sure, of course.
Yep. And it's they're loaded with folate, which is a B vitamin.
Right.
And iron, which is really important for oxygen, just for the red blood cells to carry around oxygen.
Right.
So that's really important in pregnancy.
But I was going to say, those are like important for women, right? Folate for pregnant women and iron for all women.
Yeah, exactly.
And for men too, but women especially.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really important for heart health, like you said. So that's those are key.
Okay.
And also they have vitamin C.
Right.
And green leafy vegetables, they can fit in so many different things. Like, how do you use them?
Well, I know when we started talking about how important it is to eat the green leafy vegetables every day, if I couldn't fit it into my meal, I'd just grab a handful of spinach and throw it in my mouth just because it's like, okay, well, there's my leafy vegetable. Because
right.
I was having, I don't know, whatever. I was having something that didn't include leafy vegetables.
Right. Okay.
But yeah. I just like to make a big bowl of everything in it. So
like your salad is loaded with different vegetables.
If we have
seeds.
The right stuff right after a shopping day, it's great because then you have everything and it's salads are awesome. But by the end of the week or when the fridge is getting a little thin, then it's a little harder. Your salads are a little less interesting and maybe the green leafy vegetables are a little more not as pleasant looking.
Frozen. You know what? That's what I mean, frozen spinach is great in lasagna.
Not for a salad though.
No, not for salad. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like we're in winter now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so how do you get green leafy vegetables in your diet in winter when they're not in season? And frozen is a really good way.
For sure. Yeah, you don't often think of that because you just think, oh, it's salad, lettuce, salad. That's what most people think. But you're right. You can throw it in smoothies. You can throw it in your soup, your casserole, your lasagna.
Yeah, pasta.
Stir fry, whatever. And yeah, I do that often. I don't even know what it is sometimes that I'm putting in the stir fry, but it's green and leafy and I'm like, well, I'll cut it up and stick it in. It's not going to hurt anything, right?
Totally. So. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Canned vegetables too, like the canned beans, different canned vegetables, they've gotten a bad rap in the past, but they're actually really good because they're loaded with potassium.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another thing that we've talked about in the blood pressure episodes. I think it was Nutrition Nuggets.
Okay.
About potassium.
Right.
And there's a kind of the North American diet is off the balance. Like we don't have the right balance in terms of potassium, magnesium, calcium. And a way to get potassium is actually those canned beans. So in winter,
Did you just say calcium?
Calcium is another mineral.
A way to get calcium? Is that what you just said?
No, potassium.
Oh, potassium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the
with canned, the beans.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Exactly. And like in chili or in stews or soups, you can definitely add a can of green beans or wax beans or, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually give you some good amount of fiber and of the potassium, as I mentioned, and it's a green vegetable.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just another way, like in the off season, because that's what we're kind of in the dark days of fall here in November, and it's a bit more tricky to get the, you know, seasonally fresh leafy greens.
Yep.
Although we do have kale growing in the
garden
still.
Kale's pretty awesome. It grows year round where we live. Yeah. Which is good.
And arugula. Oh, that's another one I love. If we get like the box of arugula just at the in the produce department.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so delicious.
I'm going to be making some chili after we're done this. And it's one of those meals that has, we've talked about this before, but I'll just run through it again because it's super easy and it has those canned beans in it.
Yes.
But it's, I use just like ground, but I guess you could use ground beef too. It takes a little longer because then the beef has to cook. But mine is, I call it 5-minute chili because it's literally, you just put everything in the pot, stir it, heat it, and it's good to go.
Awesome.
So there's just like ground, which is like your soy.
Veggie ground round?
Veggie ground round, yeah. It's a soy-based ground beef. Can of black beans, can of diced tomatoes, some frozen veggies, some fresh veggies. I put in a little tomato sauce, a little salsa, anything else that looks like it might be good.
And you had seasoning, like a chili seasoning. Like
I just buy one of those, yeah, one of those little packets. They're like 50 cents each. I'm like, well, that's everything there. I'm sure I could add all my own, but that's easy. You just open it and put it in and yeah, that's it. Stir it, let it heat up and you're good to go. I usually throw some garlic in it too because I like garlic.
Mm, yes.
But
that
yeah, that's
delicious.
One of those. Yeah, everything's either from frozen or canned.
It's like the 5-minute with 5 ingredients. And you got a huge meal that is so loaded with good nutrition.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So there's an example.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Wow. That's just question one. Okay. Question two.
Oh, man.
That's okay. Question two is, what about orange vegetables? Because we need to have orange vegetables most days of the week. Do you know why?
Orange vegetables are good for beta carotene.
You got it. Do you remember we did the episode?
Beta carotene is a precursor for vitamin A or the other way around or something like that.
And it's
I'm just showing off now.
Good for what?
Well, good for your skin.
Yes.
Good for your eyes too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And our immune system.
Oh, there you go. Our immune system again too.
Yeah. And you know, that actually research is showing that men especially don't get enough beta carotene. And I think it's because they're not eating enough orange.
Really?
Veggies. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or actually it's dark orange vegetables and fruits. So you can like apricots, dried apricots are in that. But oh, I'm giving it away here.
Oh, you're giving me the answers?
Yeah. How about 5 beta carotene rich foods or orange vegetables?
Okay.
Or fruits.
So that should be easy. You've got carrots, oranges.
Yes.
Squash. Does squash count?
Yeah.
Squash is orange for sure. Orange peppers.
Yes.
Like they're yellow, they're orange. You get orange, like full on orange peppers.
Yep.
And I'll say apricots.
Okay. And one that sometimes we put in the air fryer and we have that.
Oh, yeah. Like sweet potato, yam. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one.
Those are really good. So, yeah, we can switch out sweet potato instead of the regular potato or have them. You know, different times, but yeah, just to get a little bit more beta carotene. And it's not good to supplement with beta carotene. They did a study years ago. It was one of the first nutrition studies that showed people that took beta carotene supplements had a increased risk of lung cancer, especially smokers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of like one of the first studies that showed that supplementing with a certain vitamin can actually do harm. So that's why food first, you know, try to get your beta carotene through the orange vegetables and fruits.
Try to get all your nutrients through food first.
Yeah.
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 And we're so quick to just go out and buy a bottle of something because it's the easy fix, right? Oh, I need more whatever in my diet. I'll just go buy a bottle of, you know, the supplement. But you should be buying a bag of food that contains that and including that more in your diet.
Totally. You should see me like totally shaking my head. Yes. Partly because, you know, you can really throw the balance off. And we're going to do an episode on supplements soon. But the thing is with getting single dose supplements, like food has everything it needs right in one package, right? Plus you're getting other nutrients like the macronutrients, like the, you know, carbohydrates and the fat and protein and fiber. So those things are really important. But in, like I talked about with the canned beans, which people are like, canned beans are too high in salt. You can't have those or loaded with sodium. But actually, it's better to have the canned beans than not have the green vegetable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If you don't have green leafy vegetables in the fridge and you don't have them in the freezer, you can open a can of beans. You're going to say open a can of whoopass. I know it.
I've been wanting to say that for a long time.
I can just read your
Every
mind.
Time you say open a can of, I just want to say whoopass.
So funny.
That's from that movie years ago. I know. That's where, if people don't know what I'm talking about. Funny line
you
in
crack
a,
me up.
In
I just,
movie.
I had a feel. I just saw it in your eye.
We know each other so well.
It's too funny. Oh my goodness. So we're totally off track, but just, you know, food first in terms of vitamins and minerals, we get like the biggest bang for the buck through food and especially whole minimally processed foods because it's Mother Nature's way.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Number three. So you got both, you got 100% on the first quiz question. Dark
killing
green
it here.
Leafy veggies. And the second one was orange vegetables. Third one is, how are we going to get enough whole grains? Could you name five different whole grains?
Whole grains. So whole grains are, gosh, this one I always get confused with.
It's the first thing you eat in the morning.
No, I know it is. So, okay. So you've got oats, which would be like oatmeal, obviously. Cereal has oats in it, so there's source of grains there. Bread would
whole
have
grain.
Some whole grains.
Whole grain bread, whole wheat.
Whole grain bread. Pasta, I guess, is going to be, and rice.
Yeah, brown rice,
any
whole
of those
wheat pasta.
Grains that you eat, quinoa.
Yes.
Any of those sort of things.
What do we put in the soup sometimes?
Barley?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're going for?
Oh,
okay,
yeah
I forgot
one.
About it. See, those... Because I guess they're all things that are in like a different form and you have to cook them to become something. So
right.
I don't think of them because they're, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like they're more of an ingredient, I guess. That's what I think of them as an ingredient rather than the main, like the leafy vegetables. That's easy because they are what they are, like a cucumber and a carrot or whatever, but a carrot's not a leafy vegetable, but you know what I mean? Where rice is in something or...
Well, oh, I see what you're saying.
Like
okay.
Wheat is in something and
right.
Barley is part of
and
something.
Rye
is... Yeah, those are all part of something bigger. So it confuses me, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, bread, pasta, rice.
And all the other like ancient grains and grains that you would use in the rice cooker, like all the different millet and... Kamut and farro, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So those are, the thing is, less than 30% of the grains that most people consume are whole grain. They're usually the refined, the white, the, you know, snack crackers. They're the ones that we grab when we're in a hurry, a lot of the granola bars and, you know, white bread and Danishes and white English muffins and white everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why whole grains, it's so important, because if we're getting the whole grain, then we're getting the germ, the endosperm, and the bran in that grain.
Because that stuff's all cut off or like whatever the process is, it
exactly.
eliminates that and you end up with just the white part, which isn't the healthiest part.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
you're losing
right.
all the good stuff.
Yeah, and that's why there's so many like different diets about like low carb, no carb, keto, all that kind of thing. A lot of it is just cutting this totally out. But if we eat more whole grains, then we're getting the bran, we're getting
the fiber,
germ.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, which is like vitamin E, and we get the fiber. It's a prebiotic in our gut, so it helps feed the gut bacteria, like the microbiome, and helps with our brain-gut connection. It helps with preventing leaky gut, like all that. Like we talked to Projecta months ago about the leaky gut treatments. And I think we talked to Kelly Springer from Kelly's Choice all about whole grains and how they help with blood sugar control, how they help with blood cholesterol, because it actually helps to take the cholesterol in the blood to the liver. Do you remember we talked about the little
the
garbage
bus.
Trucks?
Oh, the
garbage trucks,
yeah.
And the HDLs are the healthy cholesterol. We want more of those and we want less of the LDL. So eating whole grains actually helps to get rid of those, bring them to the liver.
It's cool how everything has a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And they actually, there's research to show that people that include whole grains in their diet, they're more likely to live longer and they live long and prosper. Same thing we say about the beans, which is the next part of the quiz.
Okay.
But there's a lot of people that aren't getting enough whole grains in the diet.
Right. And I think, like you said, there is confusion because you hear about these diets that are like, don't eat bread, don't eat pasta
carbs.
And all that. And it's the white stuff they're talking about, but it gives the brown, you know, the healthy whole grain pasta
a bad rap.
Yeah. But it's good to differentiate between the two and understand that there is a huge difference.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So we did the, we're on number four and going to ask you, you know, with the new Canada's food guide, it kind of talks about food groupings. And one of the food grouping is the protein group. Mm-hmm. So it used to be like focused on meat. Like that was the first word, meat and alternatives.
Right.
So now it's something different. Remember Live Long and Prosper that I mentioned a minute ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the beans.
Yeah,
that's where you're going with that.
That's right. So
what's in the protein group? Is that other sources of protein? Is that where you're...
Name five things that could be in the protein group that would offer a protein in our meal or snack.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Okay.
So meat, fish, you've got all your soy-based products, the tofu and all that. You've got eggs, dairy, beans, nuts and seeds. I always forget nuts and seeds.
That's the biggest one.
I live on nuts and seeds. Oh my God. I eat bucket loads of nuts and seeds all day. And I always forget that. Yeah. It's because they're so little.
And you know, there's actually, we did a whole episode on chewing, like the importance of chewing. And if you could eat whole nuts or like, you know, broken up nuts, it's actually better. And it's like, a little bit better than the nut butter or the seed butters. I mean, those are definitely great. They're good protein sources. They have the good healthy fats. But the more we can chew, if you have the ability to chew and you have good oral hygiene and your teeth are working, it's good to chew if you can. We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it actually sends signals to the rest of your body and your gut that there's food coming. And it gives it time to get the digestive juices flowing. And it's really good. So if you can have, you know, nuts and seeds that are whole, like sprinkled on your salad or in a snack or however you eat them, it's really important. And nuts and seeds are so good for you. And legumes you mentioned. So if we can eat beans and legumes and lentils, how many times a week?
Well, you're holding your fingers up. So it's kind of like an open book test here.
That's right.
Four?
That's right.
Right.
Open book. You can use your computer. You can use your phone. You can use all your textbooks.
Yeah, right. And then we'll give you a rewrite if you fail.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I just thought of too when you're talking about beans is I think our daughter did this. She put them in the air fryer and made like little crunchy snack things with them, put a little salt or seasoning on them or something.
The chickpeas.
They were so good. Yeah, chickpeas.
Roasted chickpeas.
Because they're kind of ended up being like a nut.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of it. And then you started talking about beans. I'm like, all right. So that's another good snack too. And it's an easy little thing to snack on that's going to give you some protein.
Yeah. And you can do it in the oven. So roasted chickpeas.
True, yeah.
We've done that in the past. And it's the ones that are canned. So they don't need to be cooked. Like they're canned. So you can actually, when you drain them and rinse them, like you rinse all that fluid
that
out of
the mucky muck off.
Yeah, because the mucky muck gives you gas. That's why people have lots of gas and bloating with eating canned beans. So if you rinse all that out and then you drain them and you can put them on salad, like the chickpeas just from the can in salad, or you can roast them, or you can put them in soups and stews and in pasta sauce. Like there's so many ways to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And then like chili, like tonight, or the hummus, or bean burritos. Like there's so many different ways to use beans and legumes. And there's lots of cookbooks out there, lots of recipes online to figure out how to incorporate more beans in your diet. But it's so important because, you know, there's a lot of benefits with eating beans. And we're going to do a whole episode on lectins because there are people that say, oh, you shouldn't eat beans because they have lectins. But that's a fallacy because the lectins break down when you cook them. So, or if they're canned, they they break down the lectins.
Oh, interesting.
So those lectins are anti-nutrients, and some plant foods and animal foods have them. But in general, the population barely eats enough beans. I think it's like the average is like a tablespoon a week or something.
Oh, really?
It's just totally not enough. So the claim that lectins are the biggest problem in our current diet, which I've heard claims from certain public figures.
Non-health professionals.
And it's actually completely inaccurate because the evidence is showing that people aren't eating enough beans. So how could that be the problem?
Yeah, right, just, right.
Yeah. Anyways, so I think you answered five.
Did I get more than five? Did I get ahead of myself? I'm answering before I even hear the question.
Yeah.
That's how much I know.
Yeah. So you did mention all those protein foods like...
Yeah. Well, dairy and eggs and nuts and seeds and meat and fish and soy-based.
With the priority to be the plant-based just because it is, you do get the fiber.
Right.
When you get those and we want more beans.
The best of both worlds.
So beans, nuts and seeds are probably the, and tofu are the... four out of the five that I would highlight to eat more often. And then, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can include, like if you are an omnivore, like you eat everything, then you can definitely include some chicken, some red meat, definitely fish twice a week.
Have it as an accent rather than the feature on the plate, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Or just not. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's different than, you know, years ago where you... the plate was based around the meat.
The slab of meat's so big it's hanging off the edges.
Yeah, there's no room for veggies.
Little garnish of green on the side and right. Big slab of potato or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once in a while that's fun and delicious
absolutely.
And a big treat, but
yeah, every night it's probably
it's
not
a bit
the,
much. Yeah. Totally. All right. So now we're on to the next one. Calcium-rich foods. So because we didn't talk too much about dairy, it used to be a food group, but now we talk about calcium-rich foods. How many a day? And then I'm going to ask for some ideas.
How many calcium-rich foods? I wouldn't know this normally, but I do because we just talked about it last week, but it's three and a half.
You got it. Three said. To four a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably guess that, like one per meal kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like a serving.
Yeah, or a snack.
Sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Why is that so important?
Well, it's our bone health.
Yes.
Right? Calcium is like equates to bone health. Health as you get older is that's what keeps you upright.
That's right.
Right? And that I mean, that sounds funny, but it's so true when you're around older people and they're that's a big deal for them to be able to be vertical and to be able to be mobile.
Yeah.
And that's all based on having strong muscles and strong bones, and that's calcium. And like you were saying in our milk episode, the benefit of eating foods with calcium is you're also getting protein.
Yes.
Which is keeping your muscles strong.
Exactly, exactly. And remember we listened to something yesterday about how our leg muscle, our quadriceps, are if you have strong leg muscles, this will almost guarantee that you'll live long and prosper, that it actually is one of the main indicators for a long, healthy life is strong leg muscles.
Yeah, that was a really interesting podcast interview we were listening to. And the guy was talking, it was all about which sports are kind of best for aging.
Yeah.
And it was things that you wouldn't think of. It was really
active
sports like skiing and surfing and things where you're getting a full body workout.
Yeah. Agility.
Agility, balance, strength, all of those things. Whereas most people, as they age, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm too old to do that. It's too dangerous or whatever. But
that's when you should be doing it.
Those are the best kinds because you're getting all of these different things and you're keeping your body strong.
And
which
your
is
brain.
And your brain, right? And that's going to benefit you as you age.
Yeah, exactly. It's really important. And yeah, so we're kind of getting on a tangent, but it is the leg muscles and the leg strength that really is a determining factor in terms of good health in older years.
Yep. So and do those squats.
Yeah. Keep moving those legs. Keep walking. Keep like if you have stairs in your house, that's great because it's like built in exercise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't need to do a lot, but doing it regularly is really good for you.
Yeah, it's so key. So that's, and it's resilience for falls. Like if you trip and you can, you know, you're able to not fall, you know, recover from a trip. Yeah. You can definitely, it helps because you're more agile and resilient. And then that helps with preventing hospitalization.
Exactly. It's the last place you want to be these days.
Yeah. So the five calcium-rich foods, did I ask?
No, but I knew you were going to.
Okay.
I knew that was the next question.
You've been stalling and you've been kind of like...
I've been thinking, what the heck are they again?
Plant-based.
Oh, so I can't say dairy.
That's
the obvious one.
Say three that are plant-based and then two, because the obvious, like you said.
Okay, obvious is milk and cheese and all that dairy stuff, right? And then green leafy vegetables.
Yep.
So I've got 2 out of 5.
Something we use
calcium.
For hummus.
Beans?
Chickpeas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and tahini. So the sesame seeds and the combination of sesame seeds and chickpeas, but they're both good on their own.
Hmm.
So if you have sesame seeds in your
hummus,
stir fry.
In your stir fry, yeah.
And also tahini is made with sesame seed paste, right? Tahini?
Is it?
Yeah.
Sesame seeds.
Yeah. That's like, you know how you get peanut butter or cashew butter and you can have pumpkin seed butter?
I must have known that.
Sesame seed butter is tahini.
Okay.
It's another name for it.
Huh.
So yeah, anyways, so that's high in calcium and chickpeas are high in calcium, green leafy vegetables. And then we did talk about the fish with bones.
Well, yeah, but that's not plants. I was going to say fish, but okay. So
with
fish
bones.
A fish with bones. So
a lot of people take the bones out. That's what you need to include. Like keep the bones in when you're having canned fish.
Yeah.
Like squish them up and they're really important to get this calcium.
And what's that? Is there another one? I think that's only 4, isn't it? Maybe it's 5.
Well, and then obviously like the yogurt and the cheese,
the dairy
and
stuff,
cottage cheese. And
yeah, that was a tricky one. I probably with most people, they're just going to think milk, dairy sources for calcium.
Well, that's kind of the point from last week when we talked about, are you a milk drinker?
I know, you think I'd remember, right?
No, I'm just, sorry, not about that. Just the fact that if you don't drink milk, you don't eat any dairy, you don't include dairy products because of lactose intolerance or whatever, it is hard to get that calcium. Like how else can you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like we just said that like hummus, like chickpeas is good.
Truckloads of broccoli.
Green leafy vegetables, you know, but it isn't easy. So that's why if you can eat dairy and you like it and cheese on things is so tasty.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's a good way to get the calcium. We need it. So someone who is, say, a 70-year-old man, this is a bit of a tangent off the quiz, but this is for the calcium question. Say a 5-year-old girl and a 70-year-old man, who needs more calcium?
I would guess the old man.
You got it.
Yeah, because he's aging and his bone strength is more critical.
That's awesome that you said that. Yeah, because I mean, it's important at all life stages, all ages, but it doesn't end when you're older and a lot of people don't get enough calcium.
Right, right.
So I just want to really
stress that,
highlight the point. Yes, because exercise is a big part of it too, right? The bone, the weight bearing exercise helps keep bone mass. It's really important.
Mm-hmm.
If you just swim or if you just bike, you're not getting enough calcium, like weight bearing exercise.
Yeah.
Like you need to walk, you need to, if you can do something that's using your muscle and
some sort
gravity,
of strength training, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to improve your skeleton. So it's all related. All right, we're almost done here, honey.
All right. Is there more questions?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's 2 more. So this one, I don't know if it's a question. Yeah, I'm going to use it as a question because we talked to Lisa Andrews all about heart healthy eating for women. What was the component? Like, what was the listener question? And what's really important that we include every day in our meals? In the 90s, people basically had...
What's fat?
Yeah, exactly.
Fat with a pH. We haven't talked about that kind of fat yet.
Right, right. So, yeah, I know we've talked about, remember, fats, grease, and oil on episode.
It was like 26 or some way back.
Yeah. So that was a really good review of all the different fats, because there's the saturated fat, the polyunsaturated fat, the monounsaturated fat. Yeah. So there's unsaturated fats and there's saturated fats.
And what that looks like in our food. And
Yeah. And Lisa, remember Lisa Andrews said she teaches the students about if it's solid at room temperature. And
the S's, she said.
Yeah. Did she? Okay.
If it's solid, then that's saturated.
Right. There we go. That's a great way to remember it. So we need more unsaturated in our diet. A lot of people aren't getting enough unsaturated. And how, I'm going to ask three, what are three things in our diet that are plant foods that give us unsaturated fats?
Nuts and seeds.
Yes.
Avocados.
Yes.
Avocados.
Yep.
Depending on where you're from. Now the third one.
Well, you said
olives.
Three.
What?
Oh, olives. Yeah.
Olives,
that's awesome.
Olive oil. I'm just thinking olive oil, but it comes from olives, which we'll have.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
That's good.
Yep. That's good. And then fatty fish, salmon.
Right. Fish.
Yeah. Really good for us. Really good for those omega-3s and the unsaturated fats. So excellent. Olive oil's good. All right. And then we're on to the last question.
Perfect.
And this is the one that... It's a sunshine vitamin.
Vitamin D.
That's right.
Oh, and yeah.
Especially in the winter in Canada, it's we need to get it in our food and our diet, but also.
Well, we need to supplement.
Yeah.
We need more than what we're able to get from our food.
Typically.
And we're not getting much from the sun or any in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In the northern hemisphere.
That's right. Yeah. Because of just the latitude of the. Where the sun's hitting our skin, it's just not converting that hormone for vitamin D. So definitely trying to get it in our, we get in our fish, in our milk. There's some in mushrooms. It's fortified in margarine and the sun and eggs. Actually, if you eat two eggs, that will give you a little bit of vitamin D, about 8% of your daily intake of vitamin D.
8%?
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot, but eggs give you other things too.
Of course, yeah.
Choline and B vitamins and iron and it's good. But we do probably, most people need to supplement with vitamin D because it is one that most Canadians are deficient in. So.
Can we just add a little tidbit?
Yeah.
We just lost one of our chickens and I know Sandra's very sad about that. And she's like, thinking back about how awesome this chicken was and thinking how many eggs she gave us. And this is crazy.
So
this is so crazy. We did the math thinking that if she gave us like an average of 300 eggs, because she was almost like once a day, but not as much some days. So we said 300 eggs a year for 3 years that she was alive. That's like 900 eggs.
Yeah.
Which was, we broke it down into how many dozen that is and how much that would cost. And it was like $400 worth of eggs that we got from this one chicken.
Oh.
And we've got several chickens, so we were getting more than just hers. But
we only have three now.
But wow, I mean, that's...
We started with six.
I just thought that was interesting to throw that in because you don't think of, you don't do the math when you think of, you got chickens and a lot of people say, doesn't the food, you know, like it costs you money to feed them. Are you getting... Are you breaking even kind of thing?
And oh, yeah. It's not even like, and they're just awesome because we just take all our compost out there and then they eat that and they're just fun. And the dog loves to kind of, herd them. It's a herding dog. But yeah, we started with six and we have three left and, it's been a couple years. So just, over time things happen, like they get egg bound and I was doing like Epsom salt baths with all of them at one point, because, one point and another, if they look like they're sick or something's going on, it did work for the one. But then a couple of months later, it was the same one that got sick again. So, yeah. Anyways, they're only layers. We only do.
We don't eat them.
No, they're just.
That would just feel wrong.
Yeah.
What's for dinner tonight? Helen's on the table tonight.
That's just not what we do, but we do eat chicken, just not our chickens.
Yeah, we eat other people's chickens. All right. So how did I do? I feel like I did pretty well. I surprised myself, actually.
You did pretty well. I think there was a few hiccups, but that's okay.
Well, I'm not perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll do better next time.
Okay.
No, you did really
well.
You get
in the room and study, mister.
No, you did really well, honey.
Okay,
it's awesome. Yes. All right. Well, let's go make that chili.
Yeah, I know. That'll be good for dinner tonight. Cool. Well, thanks for that. It's fun putting it to the test and seeing what's sunk in. And hopefully if you played along at home, you did as well as I did or close.
And we'll do a quick recap to elevate your nutrition. One, dark green vegetables daily. And number two, orange vegetables most days of the week, like 5 times a week would be good. Whole grains. So try to include, 3 servings of whole grains every day. Legumes, nuts and seeds and tofu for protein foods. Also, you can include the fish and chicken and meat and eggs and unsaturated fats. Calcium-rich foods, 3 to 4 times a day. And vitamin D. Don't forget to take your supplement.
Perfect. There you go. Awesome. Well, if you want more information, you can reach out to us through email or contacting us through our social media pages. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Feel free to leave a comment, give us a like, or like I said, shoot us a message if you want to know more, if you have a question, or if you just want to say hi and thanks and we love what you do, that kind of thing. We like hearing that too. So you can get more information on our website as well at mywifethedietitian.com. We've got a blog on there with tons of articles, lots of interesting things. We're going to have some courses coming up at some point in the future, so we'll keep you posted on that. We've got a few other changes coming up as well, so we will keep you posted on all of that. And don't forget to rate and review the show. That always helps. All you have to do is give us a little thumbs up or 5 stars is nice. Or if you feel like writing an actual review, there's a few people have done that. That's super helpful as well. It just gets other people information about who we are. And it's always nice hearing reviews from other people and it helps us. So we really appreciate whatever you can do.
Yeah, and we look forward to some guests that we're having before the end of the year. We have an interview about arthritis and nutrition with Samantha Holmgren. We're also doing eating disorders with Shauna Melbourne, and the chef John Desbian is coming on, and Wesley McWharton, dietitian on culinary nutrition. So those ones are all coming up in the near future.
Right on. So stay tuned for those. We will keep you posted on everything that's happening. And we will be back Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets, so don't forget to tune in for that. So in the meantime, have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife, the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review, and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.